Good morning. Good to be in God's house, isn't it? Certainly we're thankful again for the sunshine and beautiful day that God has given us to be at His house. And we're thankful this morning for each one that's gathered here today to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We're thankful for those who gathered for Sunday school. And we encourage you to come to Sunday school to enjoy the fellowship of God's people together, study together His Word. And we're thankful for each one who's come this way this morning to worship with us and to honor and exalt Christ. You know, God knows what we need in our lives. And one of the greatest things we need in our lives is worship. Worship, so important in our life as a child of God. And we're thankful that God has given us a place and a people that we can gather together to worship our Lord. Have your Bibles this morning. We're going to begin in the Old Testament to come up to a thought that we're going to share this morning. We've been speaking for the last few weeks on the emotions that we experience in life. God made us, and I won't have time this morning, but if you ever get the opportunity sometime in your Bible reading, sit down and read Psalm 139. Psalm 139 will teach you of the sanctity of life. You know, there are many things that are wrong that we look at in our country today. And one of the things that we're looking at today is man seemingly has no respect for the sanctity of life. We look and we can see the mass murders that is taking place. We can see the road rage. It's seemingly that people will take one another's life with over such little things. And then we look at the schools, things that murder in school and so forth, and the abortions, and we can just see the sanctity of our life has seemed to fall to an all-time low. But yet, when I go to Psalm 139, and I read how the Lord hath wondrously made us. Isn't that wonderful? God has wondrously made us. And when you get to thinking about how that God has made man, certainly He's the wonder of God's creation. As the psalmist says, that man, He's the creating crown of the creation of God. But this morning I want to begin in Psalm 102. And I want to talk to you about emotion that I know that probably each one in this building has experienced in his or her life. And who knows, you may be experiencing it right now in your life. I read this verse this morning and I reflect back to yesterday. And yesterday would have been my mother's birthday if she had lived. And I can remember experiencing the emotion that I'm going to talk to you very vivid in my life. That mother had died and we buried mother on a Sunday. Mother and dad lived just about a mile from the cemetery where they were buried. And so I had to stay at the house that Sunday night, keep people from walking off and toting everything off that they had. But I remember the next morning, Monday morning, getting up there and driving up to the cemetery and stopping by that grave. And as I stood there, I could see the fresh ground that Dad had just been put there about a month or so before. And now I see the flowers where Mother had sent, our mother had and where she lay. And I experienced an emotion in my life that I had, to be honest, I had never felt in my life so deeply as I felt that day. And the emotion that I felt was, even though I had people around me that cared for me, it was an emotion of loneliness. That here I was, and it seemed like two of the most important things in my life had been taken away. And I'll be honest, I felt alone in my life. That is a very difficult emotion to experience in our lives. But you know, as you read the Bible, you'll find that other people experienced such an emotion. Look what the Bible says in Psalm 102. We find this is a messianic psalm, speaking of Christ. But David undoubtedly felt this emotion in his life. It says in Psalm 101 in verse 6, I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Can you picture those things in your mind? I look and many times I go by a body of water. And behold, you look out there in the middle of that water all alone by himself. stands an old pelican or something just standing there. You drive by and you see an old owl. Nothing there except him on a limb or on a fence row, all by himself. Someone says he could say no one cares, no one gives a hoot. Sometimes you feel that way in your life. And then we find the small sparrow as he is up on a house by himself. And so there is the experience of loneliness in a person's life. Even though people may be around you, you may experience loneliness in your life, even though many crowds are around you. You know, I look and shared a little in the bulletin today. You look and I think some of the most loneliest people in our life, in our world today, is our shut-ins. I really believe that. I believe that shut-ins, people who once could get out and go and do as they so would do, be around people, but now they cannot get out. And there they many times sit for weeks. Nobody comes by to see them. Nobody checks on them. And they're so lonely in their lives. You say, well, how do you know? You go by and you begin to talk to them. And you know why? Sometimes it seems like it's just so hard to get away. They love to talk. It seems like they haven't talked to someone in months. You say, why is that, Brother Danny? They feel lonely and experience the emotion of loneliness in their lives. As we've said before, death is an emotion that brings loneliness to our lives. But as I think and as I study about this emotion, God knew man when He made him. And one thing that God knew about man is that man did not need to be alone. Now you think about that. God knew man, and God knew that man did not need to be alone. You remember that God said, it is not good for man to be alone. And what did God do? God created, or God gave him what? A wife. Now some of you might say, Brother Danny, God messed up there. No, He didn't, did He? We men have to say, oh me, and be real today. Thank God for our mate, amen, that we have in our lives. God gave her to us. Why? That we would not have to be alone in our lives. That we would have someone in our lives. But you find that God created man. And God didn't want to be alone either. God created man for what? Himself. Why? That God might not be alone even in His life. When you think about people who suffered loneliness, I think the one who ascends above all has to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Has to be Jesus. You'll find in John chapter 1 and verse 11 that the Bible says He came unto His own, yet His own received Him not. How sad to come unto your own people, yet your own people will not have anything to do with you. The Bible tells us the place that He did no miracle was His hometown. Why? Because even His home folk would not receive Him. Many of His family didn't believe on Him until even after the cross that you'll find. And probably the loneliest words that's ever been spoken in history, we find this statement, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The greatest statement of loneliness that has ever been heard by human ear. Jesus spoke on the cross of Calvary. You know, as I thought about loneliness and man feeling these things, it gives me an opportunity to talk about the greatest friend we can ever have. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. It gives me an opportunity to share with you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you and I don't have to be alone because God sent His Son to be with us and to give us life this morning. Look in the book of John chapter 15. You've often heard the statement, we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we know that friend to be the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 15 and verse 13, greater love has this than no man, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants,
for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. I want to say this morning, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a friend. And I want you to know He calls you His friend this morning. Now, folks, that's something wonderful, that He'll call you and I friends this morning. You know, I think it was said of Abraham that he was the friend of God. What an honor to be called the friend of God. But I want you to know, sitting in this building this morning, there are friends of God sitting here. You say, why, Brother Danny? Because you have did what He asked you to do. He asked you to receive His Son through repentance and faith and honor Him by receiving Him. And when you do, you become a special friend to the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though there are times in our lives we may feel loneliness, we know that we have a friend above all friends. You know, as I think about this morning, and I think about this friend that's above all friends, I want to share a couple of things with you this morning that I want us to remind ourselves of. The first one is this morning, the realness of the person of Jesus Christ. Folks, I want to tell you this morning that Jesus is no myth. Jesus is not a story that's been told as a fairy tale. Jesus is more than a history lesson. Jesus is a real person who has lived and died and rose again on this earth and will soon come again. In Him we live and move and have our being. You see, today, we in Christianity are religious, have painted Jesus as this Jesus of mythology. He is just a myth, someone who has created, and we have adapted and believe this myth. That is so wrong. Jesus is real. Amen. He's real. And I hope He's real in your life. Jesus is just as real as Brother Leland is sitting by Sister Willardine this morning. Jesus is just as real. Sometimes we get to thinking like Opie and Barney. Andy was talking about Opie had a horse, and it excited Barney. And Barney run out the door, and he didn't see a horse. And you remember he come back, and Andy began to grin. And he said, oh, it's just his imaginary horse. You listen. There's no imaginary thing about Jesus. He's real. And this morning, as you think about that, turn in your Bible to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And we find that Jesus was presented real by these apostles to the people that they spoke to. The Bible says in 1 John 1 and verse 1, that which was from the beginning, we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the Word of life. They said what? We have seen Him. They said not only have we seen Him, we have done what? We have handled Him. We have touched Him. They said, for the life was manifested. We have seen it. We bear witness, and we show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, which was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. There, what do we see? The reality of Jesus Christ. The realness of Christ. That He was a person. Just as the greatest author has told us. And that greatest author is God Himself. This morning, as we search the Word of God, we look, and in the Word of God, we see the perfect life that they touched and they handled. Folks, listen. Jesus lived a perfect life for some 33 years. He lived and walked this earth. And as He lived and walked this earth, we have the witness that there never was a mark, there never was a sin to touch His life of His own making. Jesus was without sin. It burdens our heart to hear people compare Jesus just to any ordinary man. Jesus was no ordinary man. Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was the perfect man. And today, as we come to look at Him, we see Him in that perfection that the Bible teaches us about. I don't know about you, but when the gospel message was shared with me, I saw the Son of God, perfect, dying for my sins on that cross. And that was the gospel that was shared to me. We have preachers standing in pulpits and say, it's just any Jesus. He's just a man like you. No, He's not. He is the sinless man who lived without sin. We need to grasp that in our churches and in our lives today as the gospel we preach. But not only do you see the realness of His life, folk, you see the realness of His death. You see the realness of His death. You say, Brother Danny, did Jesus Christ actually die? I say, amen. Jesus Christ actually died. Look in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. I say to you this morning that there was a trial. I say to you this morning that they tried Him and found Him guilty, as we've seen in our Sunday school lesson. Though their charges were wrapped up and there was nothing to their charges, yet they sentenced Him to an old rugged cross. And He literally bore that cross to a hill. And there the Bible says we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. As the gospel was preached to me, I saw Jesus literally in my heart and in my mind presented to me, literally dying for my sins. I want to say this morning, folk, the agony that He bore was real. The sufferings that He bore was real. It wasn't something imaginary. It was real that He suffered. Turn in your Bible this morning to Luke chapter 26. Listen to the words of Luke in Luke 26, verses 45 and 46. The Bible says this, He opened their understanding as the two on the road to Emmaus. He opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And He said unto them, this it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise again the third day, to suffer. My, His agony emotionally in the Garden of Gethsemane, where He prayed so hard that His sweat became great drops of blood. You say, do you believe that happened literally? Yes, I do. I see in this trial, I see the slashings. I see where they tried Him, where they beat upon Him, where they lashed Him, where they took Him, and there they slashed His back. I look at His bones where the Bible says, and they say they stared Him. Brother Danny, do you think that was real? Yes, I do. I think that was real. I think that was literal. You say, Brother Danny, do you believe that soldier took the spear and pierced it in the side of our Lord, and out with came blood and water? Yes, I do, literally. I believe that literally it happened. And today, folk, listen, the gospel is real. And today, when we think of the gospel, we're thinking of a real Christ that lived, that died. But the Bible says back in Luke chapter 26, it says, and that He should be the first to rise from the dead. You say, do you really believe that Jesus came forth from that grave? How much do you believe it? Take a gun, stick it to my head. And that's exactly how much I believe it this morning. That man who lived perfectly, who died, came forth from that grave on the third day. Jesus said, listen, take my life, I'll lay it down, and I'll do what? I'll take it again. And folk, that is just exactly what Jesus did on that third day He came forth from that grave. And we stand this morning and we say this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." You say, "Brother Danny, you were preaching on loneliness. What has that to do with loneliness? God gave us the gospel. God gave us His Son that you and I might not have to be lonely." Listen this morning. When Jesus died on that cross, He died alone. The disciples forsook Him and fled. Isn't that what the prophet said? "Smite the shepherd, and the sheep will do what?" They'll flee. They did. God the Father drew back, even that His Son felt the loneliness, and He said, "My Father, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" And I believe with reality, my sin and your sin were upon Him, and the shame of that was hiding the face of God. But folks, you listen. You say, "What has that to do with loneliness?" He died alone that you never would have to be alone and die alone. That's important. You know, one of our greatest fears is dying. Amen? Let's just face it. You say, "Brother Danny, looking forward to death." None of us do we? I mean, the other day when that cow was rolling me around that ground, you know what I thought she was going to do to me? Kill me. And you say, "Brother Danny, was you happy?" No, because I honestly thought that, "Brother, that's where my life would end, right there on that ground." This is a solemn thought. Amen? You say, "Well, you're a preacher." It's still a solemn thought. Amen? But I want you to know what David said. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Now, what did he say? "For Thou art with me." How could he say that? Because the Savior was going to Calvary to walk alone. One of my favorite songs, one of my favorite hymns, is that hymn that is entitled, "The Day They Walked My Lord Up Calvary's Hill." And folks, you listen, he walked alone that you and I wouldn't have to experience that loneliness in our lives. All this morning, the most loneliest person is a person whose heart is empty of Jesus. That's the most loneliest person in this world. If your heart is empty of Jesus Christ, that is a hollow heart. And that is a lonely heart. But listen this morning. Not only do we find the realness of His person, but listen. Look at His presence. Look at John 14, and you find verse 23. And listen what it says. "Jesus answered and said unto him, If any man will love me, and he will keep my word, my Father will do what? Will love him. He will come unto him." Now listen. "And make our abode with him." Make our home with him in our hearts. And folks, you listen. We will never, never be alone. Never. You say, "Well, he said, make our abode." That's right. What did God the Father say? God the Father said these words, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." What did God the Son say? "I will be with you always." What did God the Holy Spirit say? "He will abide with you forever." My, today, a great fear is loneliness. And oh, what an emotion
to experience. But do you know something this morning, folks? To appreciate friendship, we experience loneliness. And oh, how we appreciate the friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? How we appreciate Him. You know something this morning? I would hate to live a life and have to stand alone without Jesus before God in judgment. Wouldn't you? What a terrible, terrible thought to even imagine to stand before God without Jesus. But you know what? When a person rejects Jesus, folks, you listen, you stand before God without Jesus. You stand alone. You stand alone. And you know, you hear so much today about all the judgments of hell. You find the fire, and I believe it's real, literally. You find the darkness, and I believe it's real, literally. But I believe the most terrible punishment there is in that awful place is to know you're alone. And you're alone. Believe me, you are alone. Without friends, without the love of God. How tragic. How tragic. All today, we don't have to be alone, do we? You say, Brother Danny, and I know there's some in this building this morning that you've lost a mate. You've lost a close friend. And I know, I can just, I say I know, I don't know until I sit there. And even when I sit there, I may not know how a person experiences that emotion in their life personally. But I know it has to be lonely. Vern Gosden, I love old country music. He wrote a song. The song was given to him by a man that had just lost his wife. And he wrote that song. You'll never know what it is to be lonely until it's chiseled in stone. What was he talking about? That mark at that grave where a loved one has left. Oh, listen. But you know what, folk? We're not alone, even when that happens, isn't it? We're not alone. If you know Jesus, you have Him. And He's always, always with us. My, that's something that means a lot to me in my life, to know that Jesus is with me and He'll never leave me. Now, I asked you this morning, and I'm not trying to meddle, and I'm not trying to be smart. But I just simply ask you, does Jesus live in your heart? Does He abide there? Is He your friend? Is He your friend that sticketh closer than a brother? Oh, if He has, He's so sweet, ain't He? Isn't He so sweet to have? But if you don't have Him today, folk, I'm praying that God the Holy Spirit has opened your heart and showed you the reality of being alone without Jesus. But He showed you the assurance you can have by trusting Christ, by believing that He's real, by believing what He did for you is real and will be real in your life as you receive Him as your personal Savior. I can say, and I think you that have trusted Him can say this morning, Jesus is real. Amen. Jesus is real. And He's real as He walks with us in our lives. If you don't have that assurance this morning, God give you that blessed, blessed assurance in your life today. I ask you to stand this morning. Father, I thank You for Your love. And Father, I thank You for Your companionship. Lord, that we're never alone. We're never alone when we have You. And I know, Lord, there's dear saints that could stand here this morning and shout with a testimony. I can know, I can tell you, that we're not alone when we have Jesus. Lord, I pray this morning in the reality of life, those in the nursing care, Lord, I pray that the realness of Your presence would be felt in their lives. Lord, maybe that one that's shut in, that, Lord, down in feels forsaken, may Your realness be felt in their lives. But Lord, today that hollow heart that's empty without Jesus, Lord, that Your love has never come to abide in that heart, I pray today that there's one here that would receive You as their personal Savior and know what it is to have the living Christ living and abiding in us. Have Your will and way in my life, this invitation, for we ask these things in Christ's name.